The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
Are you ready? Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Shell Shack on Washington. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Shell Shack on Washington. And Taylor, get your butts out here. Very cool place. We're upstairs. 713-780-3776 is your number if you wish to text the show. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O. We got to get Voldemort a Voldemort Twitter, at the Voldemort. We got to get at the underscore Voldemort. You got to see if that's available. You can also text the show. You know the number. We are out live, so no live stream. We're not on 94.1 today because that has the Dodgers and Rockies. And Dodgers are rolling right now 4-0.
Yep.
So, all right, we'll go through the rest of the league in a second, but a couple of things I wanted to get to first. Make sure you, if you're one of the six hockey fans out there who listen to the show, I did a complete preview of the entire league that will hit Sports Map tomorrow at 7 a.m. I broke it down by Stanley Cup contenders, long shots, and then those who are in the hunt for Jack Hughes, who is the next superstar forward who will be the number one overall pick, which also an American, by the way. Mm-hmm. This will be like two Americans number one in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
With him and Austin Matthews. So, and that dude is really good. So please check it out if you're into hockey. For everybody who asked me, what do you think of this team? What do you think of this team? I get a lot of that on the text line. It will all be in there. I address every single team in the league. And also give you a couple of bets if you want some Stanley Cup long shots. And I will tease that, and I'll go ahead and tell you now. Boston at a price. The Florida Panthers are like 30-1. So if you're looking for a long shot, I think that's the sneaky team. Also, I don't know if this is good news or bad news, but guess who turned 17 years old today? Katie Fowler.
Oh, no.
I know.
What do you mean you don't know if that's good news or bad news?
Well, doesn't that make her legal in the state of Texas?
That means legally I could have sex with your daughter.
I know.
Now,
that's frightening, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Legally every man in this room could have sex with her right now.
Also very frightening.
Except for you.
Right. Because that's illegal in most states except for Arkansas and West Virginia.
In the great state of Texas, that's still frowned upon. But the rest of us, the other four dudes in here, there's no crime against it.
Oh, God. There's five guys.
Oh, he's
he's counting me.
He's talking about his wife.
Oh,
he's trying to get her in on the action.
Yeah, well, you know.
I guess if you had to choose one, that's your.
I'm not going to choose any, but no, I just I do want to say happy birthday to her. Other than driving me nuts on Twitter, she's a terrific kid. And
not pregnant yet.
No, nope,
so,
that's a plus.
I mean,
yep.
Knock on
not
wood.
Not teenage and pregnant.
Yeah, it's good for her.
Yeah, but, well, they're both great kids, but.
but yeah. She's better.
Well, she's awesome. I mean,
yeah.
Well, the Blitzers have heard her on the show. She's
so far, she's less disappointing than your son.
Well, no, I think neither one of them are disappointing. I don't think disappointing is fair. She's a little more fun right now.
Okay.
You know, in a good way. Maybe not a good way, but
I mean, shouldn't your son be in prime fun mode? He's in college.
Yeah, like, but he's like, my son is like an old man in a kid's body. He's like so focused on school.
Sounds like the opposite of you.
Well, I know. That's the thing. Katie's more.
You're like a young soul trapped in this ridiculous, hideous, sad body.
Well, it's getting less hideous. I'm making progress here, man.
All right.
But yeah, he's just so focused on school and being smart. That's all he cares about.
Yeah.
Which, hey, that's great. I mean, I'm totally cool with that too. But I did want to say happy birthday to Katie because she's, she was born a month after 9/11, which is why it's easy to remember how old she is.
My goodness.
So yeah, black spotted zebra. I'm going to need a bigger clip for my gun. Yeah, I need to upgrade my my arsenal, definitely. Mm. All right, you want to go through the rest of the league?
Let's do it.
Exciting NFL Sunday. And, man, before we get to that, you know what else I did? I finally started watching Ozark.
And so didn't Jong say that too? Are you guys hanging out together?
No.
Tell the truth.
He doesn't let white people hang out with him.
Okay.
We know that.
All right.
But I'm on season 2, episode 2.
Oh, so you've already shot through the whole first season?
Yeah.
Nice.
I couldn't sleep.
Okay.
Because when I'm not drinking, I can't sleep at all.
And what are your thoughts so far?
It's got a little Breaking Bad to it, you know?
Okay.
And I hate the wife, which is, you know, right along those lines.
There's not one hot chick in that show.
No, there really isn't.
Not one.
The Rachel chick, not hot.
No.
The wife, not hot.
Nope. And the daughter's the closest thing.
And she's not hot.
No.
And she's kind of got that Seal look to her face.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
Yep.
Not Seal the singer, but
like
a seal.
Like a sea lion.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Jason Bateman's really, really good.
It's a really good show.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys turned me on to that. And
well, Jong just started this week, too.
Yeah, basically, a lot of the Blitzers told me that. You told me that. So, and what I liked about it, what got me hooked, when the lawyer splats in the first episode. I'm like, anytime something like that happens, I'm like, I'm in. Because that's one of those, oh, holy bleep. All right, let's go through the league. We've talked a lot about Texans Colts. Bengals beat the Falcons 37-36, basically a last-second play to A.J. Green. And, you know, the Falcons have some problems on defense, and I know they've got injuries.
Yeah, they've got injury problems, but they're not great defensively anyway.
You're not supposed to give up 37 to the Bengals.
No, it's a pretty bad look.
And Matt Ryan had a big game.
Yeah.
It didn't matter.
I think what you're starting to see, though, is the Bengals aren't bad. You know,
no, I'm going to have to probably reevaluate the Bengals because
that's where I'm at. I was looking at my power rating, and not that power ratings really matter because my power rating said that the Colts were a point better on a neutral field than the Texans, and they weren't even a point better at home, apparently.
You know what? I think they were a point better. I think
you're saying I had the right side?
I think you were on the right side, okay. Yes. But Andy Dalton quietly with a really good game himself. Gio Bernard was effective running the football.
Yeah, they're getting Joe Mixon back next week, supposedly, and they have found a legit – I mean, as disappointing as John Ross has been, he caught a touchdown this week, but as disappointing as he's been, Tyler Boyd has stepped up, and he's a legit number two receiver for this team, which should let A.J. Green eat. That's going to – I mean, they're going to be good offensively.
But I do see enough flashes out of Ross that – I think he can be something at some point, and especially if he's got other guys to take pressure off of him.
I feel like it's been like 6 years now.
It's only, his second year, man.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Good Lord. He just feels like a massive disappointment.
Bears beat the Bucks 48-10.
Oh, did
okay,
they?
Okay, and this is one of those things, like we were talking off air about it. I've been waiting for Washington's offense in college, and unfortunately it happened a week I went against them. I've been waiting for Mitch Trubisky to have one of these games, and I talked about it last week. It's like, I love the offense. It's just not happening yet. They're winning games, but he's not being special.
Right.
He was special. 6 touchdowns.
To 5 different guys.
And I know that's how the offense is supposed to look. And, man, the Bucs defense is not good. We know that. But man, big game for Trubisky. If you had Trubisky in your daily fantasy, you probably won.
Probably won, unless you played Jared Goff.
Right. Who was also pretty good the other night.
Or Andrew Luck. I mean, there was a few guys, Kirk Cousins, a bunch of guys who put up pretty crazy numbers. Matt Ryan, you mentioned.
Yeah, I was talking to our boy Josh, who does the fantasy for us, and it's like, man, there were a lot of quarterbacks that went off. Jameis Winston did return. He managed to.
He did, and he's going to start after they've got a bye week this week. He's going to start the next game. So, Ryan Fitzpatrick, his time has come and gone.
Good luck with that. Cowboys beat the Lions on a field goal, 26-24. Big day for Zeke Elliott. And, of course, they're coming to NRG next week. And, you know, we'll talk about that game a lot. But the thing that I would be shaking in my boots if I'm a Texans defender is Elliott out of the backfield. This team screens so well. Texans never guard screens.
Which is funny because remember last year, Zeke Elliott wasn't much of a factor catching the football.
No, which is why I think you downgraded him a little bit in PPR leagues. But 4 for 88 and a touchdown, including the one that set up the game-winning field goal. 152 yards rushing. I think the Texans are going to have to find a way to stop that guy out of the backfield. And
what if I told you the Texans were 3.5-point favorites against Dallas?
I would be on poke.
I would be too.
Yeah.
And Dallas, a pretty good defense. You know, we've seen Deshaun, we saw some flashes this week, but it's not going to be as easy this week as it was last week. It's going to be a different game. But, I think that's an odd number.
I think the Texans will be able to score against them, but I don't think they're going to be able to stop Elliott at all. And I think that's I think it's a coin flip game.
Another over 45 this week?
Yeah, I do like the over 45. Okay. And you give me the points, I would take the Cowboys today.
Boy, thank you. Thank you, Texans, for getting the over, damn near at halftime.
Yeah.
That saved me a lot of sweat.
Packers beat the Bills 22-0.
The Bills are horrible.
That still makes you wonder what the hell happened. At one point, Josh Allen was 5 of 20 passing the football.
That was everything they had against the Vikings. Yeah. You're not seeing that again.
No, and we didn't get a chance to talk about that Vikings game because you weren't here, but John and I talked about it a lot on Friday. Titans beat the Eagles 26-23, and a lot of people keep asking, are the Titans smoke and mirrors? I don't think so. I think they're playing the kind of football – and you know what? So far, so good for Mike Vrabel because I didn't expect much out of him. But I like the way he has his team playing very conservative football. And then they give the ball to Mariota at the end. And they convert 3 fourth downs on that last drive. I mean, that takes cojones, too.
You know when the Titans are tough to beat? When Mariota throws for 344.
Yeah.
If that happens, good luck.
Corey Davis with the winning touchdown.
Finally, my dude comes through.
I know. We've been talking about that guy. It's another one we've been talking about for 2 years.
Oh, my goodness. Trust me. And there's people who talk about, who will tweet me every time he sucks about, I thought this guy was the truth. You said on draft day this guy was where it was at. Well, this is what he can be.
Yeah.
Was his first touchdown catch of his career.
Yeah, and his first really good game, but hey, you know, receivers don't always jump right into the league and kick ass. So
no, but he's good. He's good. And, man, if Mariota's going to throw like this, then Titans, they may be better than I thought they were.
Well, and the Eagles' defense, not good right now.
No.
So
their pass defense, not good. It's still hard to run on that.
Yeah, team. It is, but their secondary is kind of a mess right now. Patriots beat the Dolphins 38-7. This is one of the ones that I actually had right this week. And I didn't have to sweat because at halftime that thing was over. And it went exactly like I thought it would. The Patriots would get right. The Dolphins are a bit of a fraud based on some positive situations they were in the first 3 weeks. And Sony Michel with a big game. And they barely trotted Josh Gordon out there.
You know who else had a big game? Brock Osweiler.
Yeah.
4 of 5. Come on now.
Yeah, off the bench. Yep.
135.4 passer rating. Come on. Respect.
Okay, no respect.
No respect.
No respect for the ostrich.
Yeah, this was one of those games where everybody got right except for Gronk, who's back to being banged up all the time. Yep. And it's just, I still think long term they need him to be 100% for that offense to really function week in and week out. I think Edelman would help that cause as well. But, yeah, seeing a little bit of Josh Gordon, I think that the Patriots offense is a week or two from being
the Patriots
full
again.
Juggernaut mode.
All right, we need to take a break. We'll get to the rest of these in when we come back because still plenty to get to, and including some really exciting games down the stretch. But we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5 live from Shell Shack on Washington.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Shell Shack on Washington. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live at Shell Shack on Washington. And this is a really cool place. You should check it out. We're upstairs, so if you're just getting off work, you're looking for a place to go, what do we always say? Nobody wants you at home. Come hang with
us.
Yeah, they don't. You get home and they'll be like, "Wait, what are you doing home?" Like, the mailman just left. You missed him by 2 minutes. All right, let's get back to the rest of these games. Jaguars beat the Jets 31-12, and you know, when Blake Bortles plays well, the Jags are almost unbeatable. And when he doesn't,
they're very average.
Yeah.
Or they've got to hope that, you know, the other team's defense is just bad.
Yeah,
but yeah, he was really good, and he's been sort of a. Sort of a Jekyll and Hyde so far this season, because last week against Tennessee, it was basically like if they'd gotten anything from their quarterback, they would have won that game.
Yeah.
This week, they didn't even need their defense because Blake Bortles was just a monster. So I don't know what to think of the Jags.
What do you think of them going for two late in the game?
I mean, I don't. Doesn't bother me.
Doesn't bother me either.
Stomp, twist the foot.
Yeah.
Snuff it out.
Yeah. Sweep the leg.
Yep.
All right, this one was an incredible sweat for me. Raiders 45, Browns 42. Browns fan who called Friday and talked about how he was going to fade and go with the Browns, suck it.
I hate to tell anybody that they got lucky on a bet.
I'll take it.
You caught a rainbow on that one.
Well, the Browns are still going to find ways to lose.
They are.
Which is what happened.
That's what it boils
down
to.
Huge game for Derek Carr.
Yeah, both the – That's some pretty bad defenses, it looks like.
There's a lot of bad defenses in the
league.
There
really
this year.
Is. And that's why I think, like, you know, the teams that actually have a decent defense, they're even more dangerous. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Watching the Ravens last night, it's like, man, if they're sort of like the Jags.
They're a lesser Jaguar. If they get a good game out of Flacco, they're going to win a lot.
They're
going to
win, yeah. So, yeah. I
trust those guys about the same between the two of them.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Well, I trust Flacco a little more because I've seen him at least crank it up at the right time before.
I've seen it one time. The rest of his career, he's been Blake Bortles.
That's fair.
Seahawks beat the Cardinals on a last-second field goal from Sebastian Janikowski from 52
That's
yards.
Right. Man, I'll tell you, I was at the beginning of the season, I think I had Russell Wilson ranked as the second quarterback on my board.
Yeah, I think he did. Where is he now?
Border top 10, borderline top 10. I mean, it's just there's not enough around him, and you know, he's trying his damnedest, but he doesn't have enough. He doesn't have enough help, and he can't do it alone. That's a pretty rough football team.
I got to tell you, their offensive line, even with Dwayne Brown, looks like absolute garbage.
It's bad.
It's bad.
It's not Texans bad.
It's close.
It's bad.
It's not that far off, man. They are just terrible.
And then, you know, Earl Thomas getting hurt. That's a big blow to that team.
Shooting the rod to the sideline on the way out. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
I don't blame him. I feel bad for that dude. That guy's
Now it looks pretty serious, so he's going to miss the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Is he going to get paid next year coming off that injury?
Not what he was going to.
No.
So
and so for people to get pissed when he held out, there's why.
That's why he held out.
By the way, Dodgers up 5-0 now in the seventh.
Yeah, Bueller leaving the game now to a raucous applause.
Saints beat the Giants 33-18. This is another sweat for the over. It happened late thanks to 22 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
But and the Giants were back to looking like the Giants. If you can only get 18 points against the Saints defense the way they're playing, that's not great. Alvin Kamara had a big game. And Saints quietly 3-1 without playing their best football. And that's a good sign.
Yeah, it's unbelievable the Saints are 3-1 because they don't look like – they don't pass the eye test. you know, and I'm not sure what how they're going to make this work long term. It seems like it's just sort of being held together by duct tape.
They started
stuff,
really slow last year, and they got better and better as they went on. And the fact that they're 3-1, to me, that's a good sign. If they improve like they did last year, then they're going to be in the hunt because they just do not look good, and they've got three wins.
And I mean, you'd much rather look meh and have three wins than be like the Falcons, and you're putting up league high in points, and you're 1-3.
Yeah,
so.
the Falcons look sexy, but yeah. Chargers beat the 49ers 29-27. Good on the 49ers. They actually got off to a lead in this game, and they played pretty well considering they didn't have Garoppolo.
Yeah, I don't know why I said if I could get 10, I'd be on the Niners. And I still, at the end of the day, I was like, you know what, Chargers minus 9 just feels right, and I was wrong. That was like one of those times where I changed my mind and it didn't work out.
Yeah.
But that's the Niners are bad. The Chargers, to me, this solidifies them as frauds.
They're an 8-8 type team at best.
And with no Joey Bosa, that defense is just kind of meh.
And the Ravens slapped the Steelers last night. It's funny, the Ravens got off to the fast start, and then the Steelers came back and tied it, and you thought, oh, here we go. But second half, all Ravens.
Well, they happen to have the best kicker in the history of time, and
he came
through for them last night, and that's just a massive win for the Ravens, who I think are low-key one of the best teams in the NFL, and no one's talking about them.
Well, I think they're one of the best teams in the AFC, which I will still say is well below the other conference right now.
That is fair. But when you look at that AFC, I mean, the Patriots have obviously had their struggles. I don't know if they're – I mean, the Chiefs look like they're good. We'll see what happens with them tonight. You know, I don't know if there's anybody from the AFC South that is super scary these days. I mean, the Jags on a good day are about as good as anybody. But I think it's sort of a wide-open race out there. But I think the Ravens are in that mix.
Yeah, I think the AFC is completely wide open. If you get past the Patriots – and we were saying all along it's the Patriots or Steelers. Right now I don't think the Steelers look like the team.
Yeah, Steelers are a mess.
Yeah, and obviously they've got internal stuff. And without Le'Veon Bell – and I know everybody has devalued the running back, but when you have a stud, when you have a Todd Gurley, when you have a Le'Veon Bell, when you have a Zeke Elliott, it makes your team better. And I think with Le'Veon Bell in that lineup, then, yeah, they're that kind of threat. Without him, they're good, but they're not that good. And right now they're in a little bit of a hole, so we'll see. But I think if we think the Patriots are vulnerable, then suddenly the Chiefs are in play. Suddenly the Ravens are in play. The Jaguars, I think, were in play all along. Maybe the Titans are in play. I want to see what Denver does tonight. I don't think that team's as bad as people think. So.
Ravens second in the league in scoring differential, only to the Rams.
All right, now I'm told we have dead air.
Uh-oh. Is that true, John? Should I read this read? Okay. You want me to read this or wait? Okay.
All right, so we'll just take a break and we'll come back with it. All right. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5, apparently.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys, got to tell you about Tri-Eagle Energy. There are a ton of energy providers out there. And they're always throwing different offers at you. How about free weekends or free days or cash bonuses? The list goes on and on. And all that stuff sounds good until you get your bill a couple months down the road. And suddenly, man, they've jacked up the rates on you. How's that going on? Or they're throwing additional fees onto your bill. Well, this isn't what you signed up for. You don't get that with Tri-Eagle Energy. It doesn't work out that way there. The rate you see, that's the rate you pay. Simple. No gimmicks. No minimum usage fees, no charges for going over a certain amount of electricity. Just good, honest business from a good, honest, born-in-Texas company. Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE, or log on to TriEagleEnergy.com. Use promo code ESPN. You'll get yourself an additional discount. That's 877-93-EAGLE or TriEagleEnergy.com. Promo code ESPN, PUCT license number 10064.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Shell Shack on Washington. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are and back.
Are we? Now we're back on The Blitz. Live here
Voldemort
at Shell Shack. That's all right. He's over there tearing
stuff
into those shrimp. That's what it is. Those shrimp are good, aren't they? Yeah, you know, I'm kind of a shrimp snob because when you grow up on the coast and you get them right out of the water, you get up here and they're a few days old.
Right.
Eh. But these are really good and fresh. We're at Shell Shack, complimentary valet. Come on out. Hang out with us. We're on the second floor. Happy hour until 7, so you get $1 off your drinks. You get $1 oysters until 6, which is, you know, you get about 27 minutes of that. Kitchen's open 7 nights a week. This is a really, really cool place. And I was on the balcony out there thinking, I bet at night you can see people having sex across the street.
Come on.
I bet you can. Yep. Okay. There we go.
Oh, you guys? We can see you guys?
Okay.
All right. Well.
All right. So, John, do we have Lance? All right, well, let's go to our buddy Lance Zierlein.
Yes, sir.
What's going on, man?
What are you talking about? You used to get shrimp off the Gulf. You were from Canada, I thought.
No, I grew up in Lamarck and Galveston, Dickweed. I'm retiring to Canada. Sooner the better.
I might, too. I liked it.
Hey, man, it's you know, the way things are going here, I think that's going to be a great place to retire.
Trust me, it was a scouting trip whenever I went to Vancouver earlier.
Yeah, well, whenever my wife gets drunk, it's like, when are we moving back to Canada? I'm like, soon, sober up.
So next summer, I'm going to Montreal, as you locals call it.
Well, that's where she just got back from, and she loves it there. She's like, oh, we should move there. It's like, dude, I don't speak French. That's not happening.
Yeah, that's
you can learn French.
No, my heart is set on Toronto, so I can get some Leafs season tickets and just spend my time going to Leafs games.
Hey, Lance, I don't know about you, and Fred and I talked about this at the beginning of the show. It normally, after a win, you feel better about the team than you did before. I don't feel any better about the Texans than I did before the game that they just won. Am I crazy for that, or did you see something from them that's giving you some reason for optimism?
Well, I think that in pieces I feel better about certain things. I feel better about the fact that Deshaun Watson is, you know, threw together a pretty good game. I mean, you know, I keep hearing about this 300-yard games in a row, but, I mean, the fact is there was I thought that – well, we both know he had some late yardage and a late touchdown.
Yeah.
It was kind of meaningless against the Giants. I did see some things. Here's what I did like. I did like the fact that both the defensive ends, J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney, have big games. I did like the fact that Bill O'Brien went back to more play action, jet sweep looks. I mean, he had misdirection looks that I think they do one of two things. They keep linebackers occupied, and it also helps – I think it prevents the pass rush from getting upfield right off the bat. I mean, because you have to be leery of those jet sweeps and handoffs. So I think that was important that he went back to what he did. Why he got away from it, I have no idea. It's one thing not to show New England that in game one, but once you saw that Deshaun wasn't healthy, I'm not sure why he continued to do that for game two and game three before going back to what he did last year, which is what he did yesterday. But as a team, the secondary was atrocious. Aaron Colvin is – I mean, they're getting beat by guys like Zach Pascal, who was a practice squad guy. We don't know about Aaron Colvin. I know, you know, it doesn't look good for Aaron Colvin, and that was one of your better cornerbacks, I guess. So I don't see that getting any better. So even if you're front seven, I mean, you're really good. I didn't notice Whitney Mercilus much again. I thought Kendall Lamb was an upgrade over Davenport for sure. I still think Rankins is too slow to play left tackle, but they're just going to have to make do and do what they can because they really don't have any options. Obviously, I thought the running game was not great. The running yards, people like point to the running yards. Hey, they ran for over 100. Who did? Deshaun Watson did for most of them. So, yeah, I find little individual things that I like better, and I think, well, this isn't bad. And then you combine it all, you lost an 18-point lead. Clock management, once again, was problematic. Gave up seven sacks. Will Fuller, once again, soft tissue injury, and then Aaron Colvin got hurt. So, I mean, there's a lot of things to really be concerned about still. And really, that W was thanks to Frank Reich making an extremely aggressive decision. Because if not, he just punts that thing, the game's over.
Yeah, we talked about that a lot, as I'm sure you guys did this morning. And yeah, I'm not going to rip him for it as much as a lot of people, but it was – yeah, I would not have done it. But, I mean, I understand that you're trying to win the football game and that's your only way to do it. I think where they are, a tie would have been fine for them.
You know, I just – How do you – I've heard all these people who this is the dumbest thing. And I get it because you did give up – you basically gave the Texans a win. But, I mean, just conceding a tie just goes against everything the NFL is supposed to stand for.
Yeah.
And the 10-minute rule is a big problem in overtime. 10 minutes is not long enough. If one team gets a long drive, I mean, you really – I saw it in Philadelphia versus Tennessee game. Philadelphia had a long drive. They ended up with a field goal. And then Tennessee really just had no choice but to – they had to go for it on a fourth and two rather than kick a – well, they did have a choice. I mean, they could have tried a long field goal. But I just think this 10-minute thing, it's not enough time. They have to revisit it after the year's over because they need to have at least – unless they're going to just say first score wins again, then that's fine for 10 minutes. But there was a very real chance we could have had a couple of ties yesterday.
Yeah, and well, even the Colts, that first drive, there's only 5 minutes and something left after that.
Yeah.
Half the overtime's gone.
That's what I mean. I think the 10-minute thing makes it really tough, and the NFL has to decide if they're going to be okay with ties, because if they're not going to be okay with ties or teams playing for ties, then, you know, then they're going to have to look at how they have the overtime set up. I wouldn't be opposed to what they do in college, although I don't think 35 makes any sense because the field goal kickers have a lot bigger legs. I'd start them at the 50, and I'd say, okay, knock yourself out, boys. We're both starting from the 50-yard line. The first shot, you get a chance to whoever wins toss. If you get a touchdown, the game's over. If you kick a field goal, the other team gets possession and, you know, and go on from there.
I guess my problem with it is and probably just because I'm a guy who likes to bet on football, I don't want that to mess with totals, and I know that would, I mean, that would just it would ruin totals.
Well,
for
you
me.
Know what? But you know what? I think would stop that is if Vegas said. I mean, this actually is very logical to say overtime doesn't count for totals. Whatever it is in regulation, that's the total mark.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, because I'm.
Although there are plenty of times where I've been saying, you know, I've watched college games where I'm like, oh, overtime's just a blessing because I know it's going to be a win then.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think feeling. It depends on which end of it you're on.
It does.
Absolutely.
As to what you want to see. So looking ahead a little bit with the Cowboys coming in, I think my big concern for the Texans is Zeke Elliott not just running the football, but the fact that he's catching the ball out of the backfield now, and the Texans still have not figured out how to stop a running back catching the ball out of the backfield, especially on screen passes.
No, he was like one of their lead. He was like their lead option at the end of the game. They threw a one-on-one matchup to him, and he caught it over the shoulder, just tracked it beautifully. I mean, he's such a good pass catcher as well. And I agree with you, Fred. I think, you know, I'm not too worried about the receiving options, obviously, and Dak Prescott isn't Andrew Luck, so I don't think he's going to carve up the Texans. But Ezekiel Elliott, that's the guy that the entire game, I think, may hinge on Ezekiel Elliott versus Deshaun Watson as two explosive playmakers. And if you're the Cowboys, you want Dak to stay out of the way and just not turn the ball over. If you're the Texans, you need Deshaun Watson to make big plays, especially if Will Fuller is going to be out this game, which it wouldn't shock me to see him out this game. They'll double-team Hopkins, and then we're going to have to see what Kiki QT can do with his second game as a Texan. I liked a lot of what I saw in the first game, but they're going to have to find a way to get more chunk plays when DeAndre is double-teamed and Will Fuller's not in the game. QT's going to have to step up big, and that's a rookie we're talking about. So that one's going to be interesting. And we'll see if the defensive ends can get to the quarterback like they did yesterday, because I'm not sure. It's going to be a lot harder against Dallas, who has a lot better offensive line.
Yeah, and talking about Kiki, it's like the one thing that might be getting lost a little bit is, yeah, he looked great, but it was against, what, fourth and fifth cornerbacks for the Colts, and he's not going to see that against the Cowboys.
Yeah, fourth and fifth cornerbacks and fourth and third and fourth offensive tackles. I mean, you know, let's put this in perspective. The Colts are beat to hell. They're a team who is not a very good team right now. I mean, they've had some near wins, but they haven't really materialized other than one when they went in and stomped on Washington a little bit. And the Texans now are going to face a really tough defense, and a defense that can rush the passer. And that's got to be a big concern for that team, because even though I think Kendall Lamb played better, Deshaun still holds on to the ball, and they're still not that talented up front as a unit. So I think they're going to be in some trouble against Cowboys if Deshaun just sits back there and thinks he's going to have a lot of time to throw. I mean, that's just not going to be the case.
You surprised -3.5 on the Texans?
No, not too much, I think. I don't think Dallas is a very good team either, honestly. I think that's just a home field number. Now, the hook doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But I think Texans 2, maybe 2.5 feels like an honest number, because I do think the Texans are starting to show that they might be able to get some of the offense ramped up again. And Dallas has a hard time. They just have a hard time scoring. I mean, it's just not an explosive team. So it's kind of a – these two teams, their weaknesses don't exactly coincide with other teams' strengths, other than Cowboys pass rush versus Texans offensive line. So I'm kind of interested to see how this one plays out. I mean, I'm not laying 3.5. That hook is ridiculous.
I don't think you can do it. I think crazy.
But I think under 3 is a potential value play. But what do I know? I had Philly and they got beaten. Because
yeah, you're 2-6-1 in our game. I don't know what's happened to you.
I've got the worst luck in the world. I'm watching Philly. Some of us may have brought it from 3 to 2.5 on Philly, and I'm watching a 4th and 15, and as soon as they converted the 4th and 15, Tennessee, I'm like, well, I lose. Yeah. Because that's a surefire sign that you're getting ready to take a bad beat.
Hey, at least you were taking bad beats. My college bets weren't even close on the 3 games I played, so I didn't have to sweat them. It's just I lose.
You know, I'll ask you, Lance. Worst beat. I feel like I've had a bad beat 2 weeks in a row. Mm-hmm. Worst beat: Oregon +3 against Stanford 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
Or Colts pick'em this week, where I could have just walked away with a push and everything would have been fine.
What if you had Colts +1? What if you had taken that
would have been
before game time? Even more brutal.
Even
more brutal. No, the Oregon Stanford. Oregon was supposed to be going up 31-7. I mean, Oregon had that completely under control. I think Oregon's worse to me.
What pissed me off about both of them is, like in the Oregon game, all they had to do was take knees and they won the game.
Yeah, you were down 18 at one point with the Colts. The Oregon looked like they were, Oregon looked like they were just going to cruise in, no problem.
I guess I just felt like if the Colts punt on fourth down, it's about 99.9% probability that that's a tie.
Yeah, it is.
And then if they don't punt, it's like, oh boy, now it's basically a coin toss.
You know, if you're the Colts, think about this. I know everyone's going to talk about the timeout, but remember, it was 2nd and 1, and their tight end had that holding penalty to make it 2nd and 11.
Yeah.
Man, that completely changed that series. Completely changed it.
Well, we talked about this, too. With the AFC being sort of wide open, and we were just discussing last segment, like, who in the AFC is really good. It seems like the Chiefs are pretty good. I think the Ravens are pretty damn good.
Man.
The Jaguars look good, with the glaring exception of last week, which is just head-scratching. But when you're in with the Patriots down, it just seems more like a wide-open year in the AFC. It seems like playing for the tie would have been the smart thing to do.
You're just speaking – what are you talking about? The Colts playing for the tie again because they're thinking about the Jags? That's a gambler talking.
I guess
That's
so.
That's just a gambler talking.
I guess so.
I mean, it may be the smart thing to do to get a tie, but here's – and I know this for a fact. The Colts are saying, we're going to turn this thing around. We're playing to win. And I think a lot of the players in that locker room respected that decision and wanted that decision to be made. Now, you know, he's not going to be happy. All the fans – all the media, because they lost. But if they had won, Frank Reich would have been hailed as just the gun, the riverboat gambler and all that. That was – he had to have known that was coming.
Frank Reich said, I'll do that 10 times out of 10. I said, man, I think if he does that about one more time, two more times, and it doesn't work, you're never going to see chances 4 through 10. Because you're right. It's maybe the players respect it, but – I bet there's a lot of salty Colts fans in Indianapolis.
Well, you can fade the salty Colts fans. You always want your players to be on your side, and I think Frank Reich is – his players are more on his side than ever before. The only problem is going to be is if you get a salty owner. Because the salty owner, if he's a fan and it makes him upset – we know with the Texans, nothing's going to upset the owner. Like, well, whatever, just keep doing what you're doing.
I think he's doing fine.
Yeah. Keep doing what you're doing. You'll be fine. We'll give you an extension.
Irsay was probably so stoned he didn't notice.
Irsay has been. Have y'all noticed? It's been really quiet on the Irsay front a couple of years. And he really hadn't said. Our guy said more than he has.
Yeah, well, he's totally stable, so that's why Frank Reich's not worried, because he's got the most stable owner in the league.
Would you? You know what? Speaking of when you try to handicap these things, you talked about it really is wide open, and I'm not 100% sure that the Chargers aren't going to be that Bosa injury is going to hurt them, but I think the Chargers are still going to be a major factor. But I got to tell you, this decision to draft Lamar Jackson, I think, had unintended positive consequences on Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco seems to have pulled his head out and is playing legitimate football. Now, it helps that they've gotten some weapons. I mean, that's a major, major deal. John Brown and Crabtree, especially John Brown, have been major factors. But I had just kind of written the Ravens off as, blah, blah. Here's the blah, blah Ravens. Don't even care. And now they're just stomping on people. I mean, I've had to reassess who they are.
Well, I think the Ravens are better defensively, too. And for the longest time, it was, if Jimmy Smith is out, the Ravens' defense is trash. And they've finally gotten their secondary to a point where, Jimmy Smith's been out all year, and their defense is really, really good. I think when they're healthy, the Ravens are damn near as good as anybody.
Yeah, they've drafted for defense. I mean, their offense has suffered because of it. The Marlon Humphrey first-round pick, they got Tyus Bowser from University of Houston. I mean, they're out there trying to get better defensively, and their offense struggled. So they said, you know what, let's just go get free agents. We're not going to draft. We haven't been able to hit wide receiver in the draft, so let's just go get him via free agency. And that John Brown thing, man, that's just been such a big, big deal. But Joe Flacco seems to be awake. And then the Steelers, I think the Steelers are just dead. The team – When do you ever see a running back on an offensive line not cohesive? I mean, those guys usually click together. That's not working there. You got Antonio Brown getting fussy. Ben Roethlisberger's on his potentially last legs. It's just the secondary is not very good. It's just a nightmare over there for the Steelers. And you look at the Browns and you think, if the Browns hadn't screwed this thing up, the Browns could be sitting there right there with the Ravens and saying, hey, this might be our year to make the playoffs. I mean, they have shot themselves in the foot badly twice.
Well, they're still the Browns, and they still have Hugh Jackson.
I mean, yeah,
a thing.
that's not changing for this year at least. But, you look at the AFC, and I know Texans fans will get excited about, hey, maybe the Texans still have a chance. But I just don't think with that secondary and that offensive line you're going to be able to. You just can't have those. You can have two issues that are that glaring and get to the playoffs even in a down year, because Miami still might be a factor. We'll find out how good Kansas City is today. I think Kansas City is probably the real deal.
Yeah, what do you think of that game tonight?
Their defense is bad.
Yeah,
though.
That's the thing. I mean, and yeah, there's an awful lot of bad defenses in the NFL right now.
You know, from a number standpoint, I hate to say it, but I actually think Kansas City probably can get there against the number. I'd love to take the points, but up to this point, Denver has not treated me very well, and they just have not been a consistent unit offensively. They just can't. Case Keenum hasn't found that magic yet. So if you're going to face Kansas City, the one thing we know is you got to be ready to strap it on and get some points, and I'm not sure that Denver's offense is there right now.
Over.
I like the over, too.
Yeah, I think you have to. How high is it? It's got to be in the 50s. I mean, look at the scoreboard. Are you guys okay with what the scoreboards are looking like in the NFL now?
I am. Number 53.5, yeah, by the way.
I like offense, so I'm totally cool with it.
But that's why I think that the teams that are going to end up being the real teams at the end of the season are teams like Baltimore, Jacksonville.
Still defend.
Minnesota, it's silly to say Minnesota and the Rams after that game Thursday, but both those defenses are still solid. They just happened to be in a shootout game. It's going to be a team to me that's got a defense, because that's what's rare in the NFL these days. It used to be, man, if you had one of these offenses that could light it up, you were hard to keep up with. But now almost everybody has an offense that can light it up. And there's just a handful of teams that actually have solid players on defense.
Should we pay attention to the Bengals?
That's funny. I was just about to ask you about that. What do you make of these guys now?
They look pretty sound. You got a speed. You got two wide receivers who can get chunk plays, and AJ Green and John Ross. You got
Tyler Boyd looks better than John
Tyler
Ross.
Tyler Boyd is the third. I mean, you got two. Tyler Boyd is a guy who's a high target player now. So you got two guys who can burn it deep. You got one guy who can work anywhere and everywhere on the field as a possession receiver. And then on top of that, you've got a couple of Mixon's hurt, but Giovanni Bernard showed he could step right in. get you whatever he needed to. And Andy Dalton's having a nice season so far. So if their defense can hold up, they're not very good defensively.
Yeah, teams that have scored or that have had more points scored against them than the Bengals in the AFC this year, Chargers, Raiders, end of list.
Yeah.
I mean, they're pretty bad on defense.
Yeah, that's not very good. I don't know. It does feel like the American League Baseball is what you go five teams deep before you get to the National League team if you wanted to rank them. It feels kind of the same way right now with the NFC versus AFC.
How you feel on the Astros' chances this week?
I like them. I like the Astros' chances, but you're facing awfully tough pitching. I mean, I think we're gonna see some lower scoring games here.
It's the only team in baseball that can match up with your pitching staff, which is I think you need some bats other than Alex Bregman to step up, and I mean Yuli's been playing well too, but you need a couple guys to step up. Correa, Altuve, Springer, one or two of those guys has to really step up, I think, if they're going to have a chance.
That's what I think. I mean, Altuve or Springer, you need one of those. I think one of those guys really needs to step up, and then you need to have a game from somebody like Marwin, or a game from someone like Gattis, or even Yuli.
Tyler White.
Yeah. Get him ramped up again.
All right, that's Lance Erline. You can hear him on the bench in the mornings from 7 to 9, and then he hangs around till 9:30, sometimes longer. That's my go-to show in the mornings when I'm out and about. Lance, great stuff as always, my friend, and look forward to talking to you again.
Sounds good. We'll see you guys.
All right. That's Lance Erline. I think we are over for a little bit. Lance is an admitted clock killer, so we come back, we'll talk some college football at some point in the 6 o'clock. We'll have a gym of the day. Todd has showed up, so now we know it's a legitimate appearance. Where'd the music go?
That's how the song works, Fred.
Okay, well, when you can barely hear the song to begin with, when it goes low like that. All right.
Maybe you're just getting old. You do have a 17-year-old daughter now.
I feel
who's
so
perfect,
ancient,
who's
DJ.
Perfectly legal. Man in this room, including Todd now, who just walked in.
Yeah,
so Todd could legally have sex with your daughter with zero repercussions from the law.
I mean, I'd shoot him.
Yeah, well, I mean,
that's not the law.
Then who goes to jail? You do.
No.
And he still had sex with your daughter.
Nope. All I have to do is say, look at this guy's face. And my 17-year-old daughter,
you don't,
acquitted.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah.
I have good lawyers. I'd be fine. All right. Listen, if you have good lawyers, nobody goes to jail. Did OJ go to jail?
No.
Well, the second time, yeah, but not for murder. Did what's her name that whacked her baby, did she go to jail?
No, she did not.
I will not go to jail.
Okay.
All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN.
You're going to pull a Casey Anthony, you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Good luck.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.